John, 4th chapter. First John, 4th chapter. మొదటి యోహాను పత్రిక 4వ అధ్యాయం. ఫస్ట్ జాన్ 4th chapter. లాస్ట్ వీక్ ఫర్ 2 weeks వీ హ్యావ్ మెడిటేటెడ్ ఆన్ ద ఫస్ట్ ఫ్యూ వర్సెస్ సేయింగ్ దట్ ఎగ్జామిన్ రైట్ ఎగ్జామిన్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ ఎగ్జామిన్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్. నౌ వీ కమ్ టు ద లవ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ అగైన్. యు నో జాన్ ఇన్ హిస్ గాస్పెల్ He has captured what Jesus has done and what Jesus has spoken. In the epistle of John, he explains, he gives us the summary, you know, what Jesus said and what does it mean to us. Now here, John chapter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, Dear friends, Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Who is God? God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Amen? Amen? Now, you know, John, if you see the chapters before that, he says, dear children. And as soon as we come into chapter 4, he changes that word. And what he says? Dear friends. That means, We are having a conversation. When he uses that word, dear children, that means he's saying, listen to me. When father talks, what the children has to do? When your daddy speaks, what you have to do, Jeremiah? Listen. You must listen, right? You don't talk. But when friends talk, what happened? You talk, I talk, right? That's what happens. Now he says that dear friends, you have to understand that God has loved us. The other friend will say that if he knows God, what will be the answer? Yes, man, God loved us. If the other person, if he doesn't know who is God, so God loves us. How can he love us? We cannot see him. How can he love us? But he already told us, right? In chapter 1, he says, things which we have heard, touched, felt, through the experience, I speak to you. John is speaking through his experience because he has touched Jesus. He heard Jesus. He was sitting with Jesus. He has experienced the presence of Jesus in his life. And that's the beauty of the writer. Unless and until we experience God, we cannot be a witness. Number one, let me tell you something. We cannot be witness. And here he says that love. Who is God? God is love. And John, in Gospel, in Epistle, and in Revelation, when you read love, the word love is agape love. What love is that? Agape love. Now, there are different words for love in Greek. But all he uses is agape love. Now you may say that, what is this agape love, Pastor? A simple explanation for agape love in the Bible we find. In the Bible itself we find. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want somebody to read verse 4, 5 and 6. Verse 4, 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, 5 and 6. Yes. Amen. This is agape love. This is agape love. Now see, John is saying that God is love. Now here, take out the word love from this four verses, and instead of love, put God there. And when we read, it will make some sense to us. It says, you know, God is patient, God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He's not proud. He's not rude. He's not self-seeking. He's not easy to be angered. He keeps no record of wrong. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. He always protects. And always we can trust him. Always we can hope. Always we can be with him. This is the agape love. What does the agape love do? Very patient. Slow to anger. It's not proud. You know, pride, when we speak about pride, the character of pride, one of the character of pride is self-seeking. One of the character of pride is you depend on yourself more than anybody. You get my point? One of the character of proud is you depend on yourself more than anybody. And Proverbs says, right? Third chapter, what it says? Proverbs, third chapter, fourth, fifth verse, when you read, do not lean on your own understanding. This is absent. In pride, this is absent. And your self-confidence is the enemy of a person. Self-confidence is the enemy, because he always tells us that you can do, you can do, you can do. But no. God is so capable, but he humbled himself. Now here, we all know this. These are the characters of agape love. But how did God work in our life? How did God work in our life? John chapter 3:16. You all know that verse. What is the verse? God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. John 3:16 is a very good example. This verse, we always think about the love of God. But just turn the coin. This is one side of the coin. Turn the coin. The other side, you will see the commitment of God. What is the other side of the coin? One side is love. The other side is commitment of God. Commitment is very different. Commitment in our life is very different. And we need to understand, when God said that I have loved and I have sent my son, Now, when God has sent his son, that shows that the love of God has made him to commit himself. The love of God has made himself to commit himself to us. Many times we think that I come to the presence of God. If I come to the presence of God, I know that my sins will be forgiven. I will be made holy. My sins will be forgiven, I'll be made holy. So when we come to the presence of God, we are coming with a condition. This is not commitment. We are coming with a condition into the presence of God. And what is that condition? That if I come to the presence of God, I will be cleansed and I will be saved. My sins will be forgiven and I will be made holy. That is not commitment, because there is some expectation. When we come with some expectation into the presence of God, that is nothing to do with commitment. God has sent his only one son. He had only one son. Right? He says, I am sending my son. Whosoever believeth on him will be saved. That's all. Whosoever believeth on him will be saved. And God has only one son he sent. And God never says that, okay, if you don't believe, I don't think so, you will believe, so I don't want to send my son. No, 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 no. He says, whether you believe it or not, I am sending my son because I am committed to do that. And I am sending it whether I have result or not. And whenever we come into the presence of God, my friends, let me tell you something. God expects us for a commitment. God expects us for a commitment. And, you know, many times we do certain things in the church. We do certain things out of the church, thinking that this is my commitment I am doing for God. Commitment has no conditions. When you are doing something for God, there are no conditions, there are no expectations. Please remember this. This is the nature of God. నువ్వు ఎప్పుడైతే దేవునికి నిన్ను నువ్వు సమర్పించుకున్నావో నువ్వు ఏమి కూడా ఆశించవు. యు విల్ నాట్ ఎక్స్పెక్ట్ ఎనీథింగ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ టు కమ్ బ్యాక్ టు యూ. ప్లీజ్, దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ కమిట్మెంట్. The commitment, the total commitment is you're not expecting anything from anywhere, but still you want to do it, you want to give it. That is the commitment of God. And this commitment comes out of love. The love which will not keep any record. The love is patient, it's not rude. You know, the forgiveness of God is so good in our life. We all give testimonies, right? We all give testimonies that I was a sinner. Amen. We were all sinners. The word of God says that none was righteous. If somebody was righteous, there was no need for God to send his son. He would have chosen somebody from here only and said, okay, please die for somebody. But no, there were a requirement that God should send his son. God should send his son. There was a requirement. And God has sent. You know, let me tell you something. Without the bloodshed, God can forgive your sins and my sins. How many of you say yes? Without the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, our sins can be forgiven. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. If you're there, you will understand. Mark chapter 2, and I want 5, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, what did he say? What did he say? Your sins have been forgiven. Amen. Your sins have been forgiven. Is it before the crucifixion or after the crucifixion? When?
Before
the crucifixion. Now, when you say that our God is a powerful God, omnipotent, omnipresent, is a powerful God, he has all the authority. There is nothing impossible for God. If he cannot forgive our sins, then you will not say that word that it is not impossible. Now here, Jesus is saying, that's where the enmity started. That's where the opposition started in Jesus' life. How can this man forgive the sins? Who is this man? Only God can forgive our sins. Who is this man? And Jesus says, don't worry. Don't look to the world. My friend, because of your faith, your sins have been forgiven. Jesus, remember me when you come with your kingdom. Thou shalt be with me in paradise today before his death. Almighty, powerful God, he has every authority to deal with you and with me. But he loved us so much. He gave his son. Because he committed himself so that you and I may be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I may understand what is forgiveness. You and I may understand the love of God in our life. You and I may understand the commitment, what God is asking us. You know, our commitment for God is very good. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 9, and I'm reading from verse 57. As they were walking amongst the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now he's saying that, Jesus, I want to commit myself to you. I want to commit myself to you, Jesus. I want to follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for serving in the kingdom of God. Our commitment comes with a reasoning. Our commitment comes with an expectation. మన అవసరతలను బట్టి మనము దేవుణ్ణి సేవించిన ఎడల మన ఇష్టానుసారంగా మనము దేవుణ్ణి సేవించిన ఎడల ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ యాక్సెప్టబుల్ టు గాడ్. వాట్ గాడ్ వాంట్స్ ఫ్రమ్ అస్, హీ ఆల్సో డిమాండ్స్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ అస్. What God wants from us, Devuniki mana nunchi edi kavalano, he says, give it to me. Abraham, give your son. That's all, finished. No explanation. Abraham, give your son to me. What did Abraham said? You gave me only one son after 100 years. What is this, Lord? Give me one more son, I will give you this boy. No. He said, Father, whatever is your will, let it happen. That is the total commitment. God gave him his son. In return, he says, Lord, I am giving to him. God gave a son to Hannah. What did she do? What did she do? She gave that son to God. What are you doing, my friends? How are you serving God? How is your commitment to God? How is your commitment to God? God so loved the world, he committed himself to us so that we may live by his blood. We may live by his death. And the love of God never keeps any record. Today, if you say that, Lord, I am sorry, he's ready to give you. No matter whatever your sins are. We all know about King Ezekiah. Correct? Ezekiah. How many of you know the story of King Ezekiah? How many of you know the story of King Ezekiah? Tell me one instant what is happening. Ezekiah. What is that? Tell me. King Ezekiah. Huh? Yeah. Hezekiah. He was on the deathbed. Right? And he turns back to the wall, starts crying. God heard his prayer. He says, Lord, please forgive me. Please remember me. Please remember me, Lord. And God sends Isaiah back, the prophet. Go and prophesy to this king that I have extended his life for 15 years. How many years? 15. Ah. During this extension, God gave him a son. What did God give him? A son. And what is his name? Manasseh. Manasseh is his son. You know who is Manasseh in the Bible? The first man, Manasseh, with name? Jacob's grandson. Joseph's son. Ephraim and Manasseh. The same name, Manasseh, is the son of King Ezekiah. What is the meaning of Manasseh? What is the meaning of Manasseh? Let's go into the Bible and see. What is the meaning of Manasseh and what has happened with this particular person and how God is talking to us this evening? We will just see. Just go to Genesis. I want you to go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 51. You will see the meaning of Manasseh. Genesis 41 and verse 51. Yeah. Can somebody read for me, please? Yes. Now, the meaning of Manasseh is forgetting things. What the elders have done. What elders have done. What the father has done. So the meaning of Manasseh is forgetting. Marchi povadamu. దేవుడు చేసినటువంటి మంచి మేళ్లను మర్చిపోవడము. ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ మానసే, వాట్ గాడ్ హ్యాస్ డన్ టు హిస్ ఫాదర్ హీ హాస్ ఫర్గాటెన్, వాట్ గాడ్ హ్యాస్ డన్ టు హిమ్ ఇస్ గాన్. మెనీ టైమ్స్ ఇన్ అవర్ లైఫ్ వి ఫర్గెట్ గాడ్ వాట్ హీ హాస్ డన్ ఫర్ అస్. యు నో, లెట్ మీ టెల్ యూ సంథింగ్, దెర్ ఆర్ గ్రేట్ విట్నెసెస్ ఇన్ అవర్ చర్చ్. గాడ్ హ్యాస్ డన్ సో మెనీ గుడ్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ అవర్ చర్చ్. దేర్ గాడ్ హ్యాస్ డన్ గ్రేట్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ పర్సనల్ లైఫ్స్. హౌ మెనీ ఆఫ్ యూ షేర్ యువర్ టెస్టిమనీ విత్ సంబడి? హౌ మెనీ ఆఫ్ యూ షేర్ యువర్ టెస్టిమనీ? లెట్ మీ టెల్ యూ సంథింగ్, nobody gives you a chance to share your testimony. If somebody gives you a chance to share your testimony, that's an opportunity, you just grab it. But if you really have God in you, you will create an opportunity where you want and where you will go and give your testimony. The interest, if God has done in me, I go to places. Many times when I get up, I'm shivering because I'm a diabetic patient. Morning time, my sugar is 55. 50. I just stand up and say that, Lord, no. The very breath what I take is a gift from you. Give me strength. At least for one person today, I must tell what you have done in my life. I don't want people to come to me. I will go to people to tell. Because that is the interest what I have, going to the people and saying that. And Psalmist says, the dead will not praise God. If I go into the grave, I won't be able to praise God in my life. But the very breath what God has given me, as long as I'm alive, I need to see for opportunity and create. If not, I am denying what God has done in my life. Is it clear? If God has done something in your life, you know, whenever I speak to people, I just look for an opportunity how to change the topic, how to tell about my living God. I just want to grab that opportunity wherever I go. I go to gym. I'm just looking for an opportunity. Whom should I touch? Whom should I speak? People will not come and say, tell me about Jesus. Nobody in this world now, they are not interested. Are people interested to hear about Jesus? Nobody's interested. If you talk about Ukraine, they'll say, oh, they'll sit with you. If you talk about Russia, if you talk about 777, Jetliner, they will sit, they will discuss with you. But when you start talking about Jesus Christ, nobody is going to sit with you. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, you will search for an opportunity, not expecting anything to come back to you. This man has forgotten everything what God has done in his life. During this 15 years of extension for his father, that is the time this guy is born. Because when he became the king, his age was 12 years. How many years? 12 years. His age was 12 years. And how many years the father has, God has prolonged his father? 15 years. During this time, after 3 years, he got this guy and he becomes king. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21. Let's see what he has done. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became, 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. His mother's name was Hephzibah. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord has driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Ezekiah had destroyed. He also erected altars to Baal and made an Asher pole, as Ahab, king of Israel, has done. He bowed down to all the Assyrian hosts and worshipped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem, I will put my name." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the unknown gods. He sacrificed his own sons in the fire, practicing sorcery, divination, and consulting spirits. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking his anger. Provoking his anger. Imagine. I just want you to imagine. This man is a king of Judah. This man is a king of Judah. This man is a king. And the king has to do justice to his people. He's the supreme authority. And he has to judge people. He has to do good things. He has to lead people. He has to tell people what is good and what is bad. And what is this man doing? This man is doing that opposite to his father. Why? Because he has forgotten what God has done in his life. He has forgotten his very birth. My friends, let me tell you something. Many times when we forget the goodness of God in our life, we are born to sin against God. When we forget the goodness of God in our life, we will do whatever we want in our life. When we forget the goodness of kindness of God in our life, we will serve God as we please. When we forget what God has done in our life, every time when we serve God, we will serve him with expectation. That is not commitment. And that is not love. Now, what should God do with this man? Tell me honestly. After reading all this stuff, what should God do with this man? Before you answer, I want to remind you, God is love, agape love. The qualities of agape love: patience, not rude. He will never keep any record. He will never keep any record. Let's go to Second Chronicles. Let's go to 2 Chronicles and verse 2 Chronicles 33, chapter 33. I'm reading from verse 9. But Manasseh led Judah and his people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord has destroyed before Israelites. They did more evil than the pagans. Now comes the 10th verse. The Lord spoke to Manasseh. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commander of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor. The meaning of favor is grace, unconditional love. He sought the favor of the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Manasseh knew the Lord is God. We don't want storms in our life. We don't want difficult situations in our life. We don't want tears in our life. We don't want struggles in our life. When these things do not come in our life, we will be like Manasseh, who did what he wanted in his life. He thought that this is my life. This is good for me. Let me enjoy. But one storm in his life made him to understand who is his creator. Say amen.
Amen.
God loves us. He committed himself to us unconditionally. God wants us to understand his love for you and for me. No matter whatever is our condition, he is ready to forgive us. He's ready to forgive us. He's ready to love us. He's ready to hug us. And he's ready to say that I am your father. He's ready to say, I am your father. When he committed himself, he never expected anything from us. When you commit yourself to God, let it come from your heart. Whatever you're doing, just praise God. Whatever you give, just praise God. Whatever circumstances you face, praise God. He is our God who can redeem us, who can save us, who can take us to the valleys of the shadows of death. The reason? He has anointed our head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. The assurance of God is we will be with him forever. A wicked person like Manasseh. ఈయనకన్నా దిగజారినోళ్ళు ఇంకెవ్వరు లేరండి. ఇఫ్ పాల్ సేస్ దట్ ఐ ఆమ్ ఎ చీఫ్ సిన్నర్ దెన్ మనాసే ఈజ్ విత్ పాల్. ఐ ఆమ్ విత్ పాల్. యు ఆర్ విత్ పాల్. విఆర్ ఆల్ విత్ పాల్. బట్ ద మూమెంట్ వి లుక్ టు ద లార్డ్, అండ్ దట్స్ వాట్ పాల్ సేస్. A good man can die for a good man. If a good man dies for a bad man, what will come back to him? Nothing. God loved unconditionally, committed himself, never expected anything from us, but gave his son, Jesus, so that you and I may live. And that's the reason. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19 and 20. Wait. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, 19, and 20. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you have your Bible, I want you to underline these words. Come, let us reason. Come, let us reason. That is the 18th verse. Come now and let us reason together. The word reason. I want you to underline that word reason. The word reason in Hebrew is yakah. Y-A-K-A-H. Write it down. Beside that word. Reason. Yakah. In other words, it says, come, let us argue. Come, let us argue. It's a judicially word. It's a legal word. Now, when two people have argument, where do they go? They go to the court. Right? They go to the court to argue. And the defense attorney is there. Prosecutor is there. The case is presented, and the case is argued. This is the whole scene. Come, let us go to the court and argue our case. The meaning of that. Come now and let us reason out together. Let us go to the court and stand before the judge and argue our case. And if you lose the case, I'm ready to forgive you. You will lose the case because you are a sinner. But I am ready to forgive you in spite of you losing the case. That is my nature. That is my nature. He says, though your sins are red as crimson, I will wash them and make them whiter than snow. You will lose your case. But I will do for you. But on one condition. On one condition. What is that one condition? If you obey. If you obey. If you come to me. If you listen to me. God spoke to Manasseh. And immediately Manasseh, what did he do? He knelt in the presence of God. And he says, Lord, I know you are a merciful God. I know you are a just God. I know, Father, you can forgive me. I am a sinner. I stand in the presence and I kneel before you and submit myself to you, Lord, because I know that you have committed yourself so that I may be saved through your grace. He sought for the grace of God. The meaning of grace? Undeserving favor of God. Come to me. Let us reason out. Though your sins are scarlet, red as crimson, though you lose the case, I am the God. I will forgive you. It's a beautiful testimony. God is love. If we know the love of God, we will love our neighbors as God has loved us. That should be our statement. My friend, you may be wrong, but I will forgive you. My friend, you may be weak, but I will forgive you as God has forgiven me. Because without the love of God, we cannot be called his children. Without the love of God, we will not be in the kingdom of God. Because the love of God is patient. The love of God is not rude, not proud. The love of God doesn't keep any record. The love of God is so gentle, kind, and the love of God is agape love. And therefore it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is the love. Not that we loved God, but he first loved us. God loved us first. We never loved God. Who loved us? God loved us. God showed his love to us. And this evening, as we look into the love of God, as God has forgiven us, as God has called us, commitment is not expecting anything. Just say yes to his call. He says, come unto me only if you obey, as Manasseh has obeyed the voice of God. God says, I will do it for you. God has forgiven the sins of his loved children. And today he wants to forgive us, because God is love. God is love. Let's bow our heads in prayer. This evening, my friends, of God has come to our lives. It's so clear. God committed himself to us, not expecting anything from us, but to give everything to us. Are you ready to commit yourself to God this evening? If you say yes, Pastor, I would love to commit myself without any expectation. Stand wherever you are. I would love to pray for you. Wherever you are, you can just stand in your place. I love to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's close our eyes and raise our right hand up. Father, we thank and praise you, Lord, for this evening. We thank and praise you for your love which has been shown on the cross of Calvary. Many times we never understood what is forgiveness in our life. But it is so clear, O Father, you not only forgive us, but you will never keep any record of it. And that is the love, that is the commitment. Thank you for showing this commitment to us. And Lord, we come into your presence, O Lord, because you said, come unto me, and I will do it if you obey my voice. I will do it for you. And today, Lord, as we respond to your call, I just ask you, Father, that you will stretch your hands upon us. And you will touch us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and cleanse us as you have cleansed Manasseh. And Lord, he did what you wanted in his life. The second part is very beautiful, Father. We thank you, and we want it to happen in our life. So therefore, by raising our hands, O Father, we commit ourselves to you. And we just ask you, Lord, that we will do everything what you want, not expecting anything, but giving what you have given us, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. My friends, the Lord's table is open. Please come.